is the fourth Sunday of Advent. There will be no breakfast after Mass today. Or on the next two Sundays, the Sunday breakfast will resume on January 13th. Also, there will be no Thursday night holy hour or confessions this coming Thursday, or the following Thursday. Those holy hours and confessions will resume on January 10th. Special thanks goes to all those who helped to decorate the chapels here. They look very beautiful in preparation for Christmas, so thank you to all of you who contributed and gave a good portion of your time to help decorate the chapel beautifully. It truly reflects your appreciation of the faith, and it contributes to the worship of God, having it decorated so beautifully. So thank you. The 2019 Roman Catholic calendars are available for sale in the bookstore. Those make an excellent gift. Every family should have one. It's a great way of knowing what days are days of fast and abstinence. The rules of fast and abstinence are in the back of the calendar. They're handy to consult. They're also gift items for people that might not buy one for themselves. So please pick one up if you haven't done so already. Last Sunday, three of our St. Pius V students competed at the county level of the American Legion oratorical contest. Leo Poholski took first place, Kieran Jensen second place, and Daniel Kennedy took third place. Leah and Kieran advanced to the district level, which will take place in January. Congratulations to these students who excelled in their public speaking. Also, envelopes are available for those who would like to contribute toward a gift, a chalice that will be presented to the bishop-elect, Father Carroll, this coming week on the day of his consecration. The gift will be coming from the members of St. Pius V Chapel, for those of you who are interested. Those donations or envelopes are available in the back of the chapel as well as in the vestibule. And if you take a look at those envelopes, you can actually see pictured on the envelope the actual chalice that will be given to Father Carroll, a very beautiful sterling silver chalice. Tomorrow is the Vigil of the Nativity. It is the day of fast and complete abstinence. So those of you who are adults, 21 to 59, are bound to keep that fast and abstinence. And I believe, check the calendars, I believe that everyone who is older than 7 is bound to abstain from meat. But they're not bound to fast unless you're 21 to 59. Please check the calendar to verify that. Tomorrow night is Christmas, Christmas Eve, of course. There'll be a midnight Mass tomorrow night. The Masses on Christmas will be on Christmas Day will be at 8 a.m. as well as 10 a.m. So your options for attending Mass on Christmas are midnight Mass, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Those all will be here at the Cove. The epistle appointed for the fourth Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4. Brethren, let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful. But to me it is a very small thing to be judged by you or by man's day. But neither do I judge my own self, for I am not conscious to myself of anything. Yet I am not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge not before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise from God. And the Gospel appointed for the Mass. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of Iturea, and the country of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, under the high priest Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the sayings of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain. and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. As far as the words of today's Holy Gospel. Brethren, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. These words are taken from the Epistle of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the 1940s, during World War II, an American scouting party landed on an island in the South Pacific. The Catholic chaplain accompanied the group as they set off to explore the island. They soon met a friendly native who offered to guide them. Accepting his offer, they set off on a path through the woods. The guide led them to a village. It lay apparently deserted. The silence was broken only by the birds and the insects. Not a soul was seen as they passed through the village and out the other side. They went about a quarter of a mile farther when the chaplain spoke. "Are there any Catholics here?" he asked. "We are all Catholics," the native proudly answered. Then he looked more closely and realized that he was speaking to a priest in military uniform. He then dropped his gun and kissed the priest's hands. Then he eagerly suggested that they return to the village. They did so, and on re-entering it, he shouted at the top of his voice, "Priest! Priest!" And as if by magic, hundreds of natives appeared. They crowded around the priest, they begged his blessing, and they asked him when he would be offering Mass. It was 6 months, they told him, since the last Mass that they had attended. That Mass had been offered by a Canadian missionary who was later captured and killed. The missionary was later captured and killed by the Japanese. The missionary had taught them the Latin responses of the Mass. In fact, they still had the missionary's altar, and they proudly showed it to the chaplain. They had kept the altar spotlessly clean and even decorated with flowers. The chaplain gladly agreed to offer Mass for them, and the preparations were made. The whole village went to confession. They also received Holy Communion. And after Mass, the entire group stayed in the church for 20 minutes, making their thanksgiving. After visiting the sick, the father was asked many questions about America. "How many churches do you have?" he was asked. "How many priests? How many Masses?" Now keep in mind, this was back in the 40s. It was hard for those simple people to believe that in many churches, there were several Masses a day, that a Catholic could attend the Holy Sacrifice and receive communion almost at any time he wanted, almost at any hour of the day. To them, that seemed heavenly. And when at last the chaplain had to leave, those poor people were filled with sadness. And yet, despite the sadness, there was true peace in their hearts, and they thanked God for coming at least this once to visit them. In today's epistle, my dear faithful, St. Paul speaks of the priesthood. He says that priests are to be regarded as ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. It almost seems an odd topic for this time of year, Advent, until we realize the importance of the priesthood in the great work that God is soon to begin. The Church takes us back 2,000 years to the most wonderful event in human history. For in 2 days, Almighty God Himself is to be born into this world as our Savior. We will commemorate this event in 2 days. Even now, he waits, as it were, in Mary's womb, and how he longs for the moment to come. His little infant heart is so full of love for us that he cannot wait to express it. He desires to be loved by us in return. Soon he will begin the work of redemption. Much suffering this will cost him. But so much does he love us that he is ready to suffer all. And every moment of waiting seems to restrain him. He knows the future. His plans are laid. Eagerly he looks forward to all that he will accomplish. He will do everything he can for men. He will spare nothing to win their hearts. He comes as an infant, as a charming, adorable, and helpless and tiny infant. He will captivate our hearts from the very start. For who would not love a newborn child? He will grow up as other children, so that every boy and girl may learn from him to obey their parents, seeing his perfect and cheerful obedience. For he obeys Mary and Joseph so willingly to show others and to show children how they as well should obey if they want to gain happiness and be on the straight road that leads to heaven, that straight road of obedience that is so necessary in order to save our souls. For 30 years, he will live a hidden life, doing the common work of a laborer helping St. Joseph. Even this time will not be wasted, for God does nothing in vain. And all those years of his hidden life are done with a purpose. His example in diligently, humbly doing a simple laborer's work. His example will teach men and women to be faithful to their daily duties, those common, ordinary daily duties that we all have that come with our state in life. Men will be more diligent, realizing that their common duties are willed by God and are thus a means to heaven. If Christ pleased his God with absolute perfection, doing ordinary, simple, menial tasks, working as a carpenter, helping Mary out around the house, doing simple jobs for her, and he pleased God perfectly by doing so, he shows us that we also can serve God with absolute perfection and with great charity if we do our daily work, our daily chores, with a supernatural motive, doing them for God's sake because God has given them and God commands them. Our infant Savior also looks forward to his public life. For 3 years, he will preach, he will cure the sick, forgive sinners. He will teach men about God and show them the way to heaven. All who receive his message will find peace, joy, and great hope in this life. At the age of 33, he will finish his life's work and give us the highest proof of his love. By his agony and death on the cross, he will redeem us and reopen for us the gates of heaven. And then he himself will return to heaven. But he will not leave us. A wonderful surprise. He has discovered a way to remain always with us. He will give to men the power of his own priesthood. Through the priesthood, the priest will have his power to make Bethlehem and Calvary present again upon the altar. The bread and wine at Mass will become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And thus, being truly present in the white host, our Savior will visit his children and remain with them until the end of time. And when they receive him in Holy Communion, they will hold him and possess him just as completely as his Blessed Mother does, as she holds that tiny infant. He looks forward happily to this union with each and every one of us. He thinks of all the sins that he will forgive, and he rejoices to be able to do so. Through the priest, he will heal the souls of sinners. In confession, the priest will say, "Ego te absolvo," I release you from your sins. And as he says those words, Christ himself is the one who directly absolves and washes away those sins, but through his priest. He would give life back to countless souls who otherwise would have perished in their sins. How wonderfully good God is in giving us the priesthood. No wonder the Church speaks of it in connection with the birth of Christ. That little infant is so eager to come to us, to shower his blessings upon us, to make us happy, radiantly happy, to point out for us the way to heaven, to uphold us, to guide us by his priests, to bring us safely to himself at last. He will shower men with so many blessings that they will love him in return. And those who do so, how they will be rewarded. He will overload them with delights and joys beyond anything they can imagine, and for all eternity. But what a price he will pay, and what great things he will have to suffer. The greatest suffering of all, which already causes a burning wound in his heart, is that the majority of men will refuse to love him and will still be lost. Despite all he does, many, many souls, the majority of people, will lose their souls because they refuse to accept him and obey his commandments. They will cut themselves off from him and disobey his laws. And already their ingratitude pierces his loving heart. This ingratitude will cause him more suffering than all the physical pains of his passion and death. And he revealed this to various saints. My dear faithful, we must not be ungrateful, as so many people are. Think of the good natives on that Pacific island who dearly loved our Lord and valued the priesthood, that incredible gift of God's goodness. Let us imitate their gratitude. Let us thank the infant Jesus for his great love, for his passion and death, for giving us priests, and for coming to us in the Holy Eucharist. One of the names of our Savior is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, and he is truly with us. He is our greatest treasure on this earth. And how blessed we are to have the priesthood, the holy sacrifice, God himself with us. In gratitude, let us love him. We do so by keeping his commandments. Our Lord himself tells us in the scripture, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he says, "If you keep my commandments, you love me." So this is the measure of our love. We don't have to have the feeling of love. Love is not a passion. It's an act of the will. It's an act of the will to do what God commands, to submit to his law, to resist temptation, to turn away from all evil. And if as long as we do so and we keep his commandments, we have pure love for God in our heart. Love is not a feeling. Don't be discouraged if you find it difficult to pray or you don't feel emotional about religion. Religion is not a matter of feeling. The Protestants use feeling. They arouse feelings and they arouse their passions. They get all excited on a Sunday because they're all whooping it up and saying, "Amen, Reverend." And once those feelings go away, though, their resolutions are not long-lasting because they've been merely emotional. And those resolutions last as long as the emotions last. But for us, religion is an act of the will. It's something strong, courageous, manly, and permanent. And it's what stays with us despite all the troubles of life. In our ups and downs, it carries us through to help us persevere. Let us then open our hearts to our infant Savior and his graces by being more faithful to daily prayer, to our daily duties, to a firm determination to avoid all sin, as well as the occasions of sin. In your prayers and sacrifices, remember to pray for priests. Pray for vocations, for this is the primary way that vocations are obtained. Our Lord says in the Gospel, pray the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into his vineyard. And he himself shows us by telling us to pray in that way, that's how we obtain good and holy vocations. So pray for vocations. Perhaps remember this as the intention of perhaps one decade of your rosary each day. Ask the Divine Infant to bless our seminary, to give us many holy priests and brothers who will continue to bring our Lord's blessings upon this earth. May God bless you. I wish you a blessed and a holy Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.